Thank you very much. That's right. If for no other reason than just for that one verse in God's Word, that is why we should go and share the gospel, right? Because it's a command. It's a command of God in Scripture for us to share the gospel. Not for us to know the gospel and keep it to ourselves, but to be able to go out into the nations and share it with others. And so if statistics do show, which they do, that a majority of Christians come to know Christ before age 15, then it is so important for us to reach children. I know that for a lot of you, you're already working with children. And that is awesome. That is awesome because children are so important for us to be able to teach them and train them in God's Word. And for you who are already working with children, you know that children learn a little differently than adults. They do. Children are very literal thinkers. If you tell a child something, then they will believe it. And so sometimes the way that we talk to children, the way that we train children, is differently than the way you talk to or train adults. So we're going to look at things like that today also. We're going to look at maybe some words that we try to stay away from or phrases that maybe we're familiar with in the church, but a child might not understand as clearly. Because what we want to do, our aim and our goal, is to make the gospel so clear for the children to understand it. So we're going to learn about a language called Childrenese, is what we call it, the language of children. Because it is kind of a different language. You have to be very careful sometimes when you're teaching children that you use words and phrases that they can't understand. So we're going to look at that too. So Trisha already mentioned about the Wordless book. And this is the tool that CEF uses to share the gospel with children. And this is a wonderful tool because since it's wordless, it can be used to share the story of the gospel using the colors, which that's something that children really relate to, okay? When you're going through the colors of the wordless book and telling them a story, children love stories. And they will sit there and they will pay such close attention to you because they want to hear what happens in your story. So using the wordless book as a tool, rather than just sitting there and telling a child about the gospel, this is so helpful because it lays out very clearly the message of salvation, and the kids want to hear the end. They want to hear what's going to happen, what's going to happen. So we call it the Wordless Book, obviously, because there's no words or pictures, and this is a tool that I have found to be very, very effective in reaching children. So in your folder, you have some notes, and you also have your own Wordless Book. Might be a little smaller than mine. Yeah, in a little baggie, you have the wordless book. And then you also have some notes. Okay? So the first notes that we're going to turn to are back where it says sharing the gospel with a child. It looks like this. Okay? Sharing the gospel with a child using the wordless book. So turn to that page because there's going to be some blanks that you're going to want to fill. And I'm going to follow along with a PowerPoint. For all of you visual learners, we've got the PowerPoint up here. So if you pull out those notes, they will be very helpful for you if you want to take a few extra notes or just to kind of refer to and follow along with. But to start off with, when you are sharing the gospel with a child, and we're going to assume a one-on-one situation, okay? So we're going to assume a one-on-one situation, but you can, of course, use the same tool if you're working with a group of children. I've had to share the wordless book one time with, I was counseling a group of 25 kids at one time. So it can be used for a number of kids, but we're going to assume a one-on-one situation, okay? So the first thing that you're going to do before sharing the gospel with a child is you're going to pray, okay? Because it's so important that you go before God and keep Him center in everything that you do. And asking God for the words to say to this child and just asking the Holy Spirit to work through you, because that is the most central thing. I can tell you the words to say that a child would understand. I could give you all sorts of inspirational stories. You could sit there and really have tons of verses to share with the child. But that child is only going to pray to receive Christ if the Holy Spirit is talking to them and opens up their heart so that they see the need for Christ. Okay? So just know that it's not about you, right? But that takes a lot of pressure off, doesn't it? Because no amount of convincing or clarity of the gospel from your words is going to bring a child to Christ. It is only the Holy Spirit. So the first thing you need to do is pray that the Holy Spirit's presence will be there with you. And that is very important to remember because, again, it takes a lot of pressure off knowing that it is not up to us if these kids come to know Christ. So, once you pray and you sit down with a child, that first blank there says you're going to use an interesting introduction, okay? So, you're going to use an interesting introduction so the child will want to hear the story. Whenever you introduce something to a child, you want to do it in kind of an exciting way. You don't want to sit there and start off something like, okay, today I'm going to teach you how to receive Jesus as your Savior, and we're going to get to that towards the end, but I'm going to tell you a bunch of stuff first, okay? Because a child, when you tell them kind of the end of the story already, then they know what's going to happen, and they're not going to tend to want to listen to everything that comes before, okay? It's kind of like us, if you are reading a book, and then you flip through towards the end, and you read the end of the story, you know, who really wants to go back and read all the stuff that comes before that? So you want to give an exciting introduction that's going to draw the child's attention. So with the wordless book, and I'll pull out my little one so it's a little easier. With the wordless book, an easy way to introduce it is to tell the child, hey, have you ever seen a book like this before? And they probably haven't. And then you can ask them, what's different about this book? And what would a child say? If you said, what's different about this book? What are some things a child might say that's different about this book than any other book? Yeah. That's right. There's no words. How is this a book? You can't read it. You could even give it to the child and say, here, can you read it to me? And they'll kind of flip through and say, there's not even any pictures. What kind of book is this? So you see how it kind of draws in the child's curiosity, and they're kind of thinking, I want to hear about this because there's no words or pictures, and yet it's still a book. What is this about? So you want some kind of introduction that's going to draw their attention. So you can tell them, well, this book, even though there's no words or pictures, it still tells a wonderful story. Would you like me to tell it to you? And a majority of the time, kids are going to say, yes, I really want to hear what this book is all about. So we're going to start off the book with the gold page, okay? So we've got up here the gold page of the wordless book. And the way that we kind of introduce the gold page of the wordless book is to ask the child, what does gold remind you of? Because, again, we want it to be interactive with the child. No one wants to sit and be preached to. You know, kind of like you would not want someone to sit there and just talk to you and not get any feedback from you, right? You want to have a conversation with someone. So the same with the child. You want it to be interactive. You want to ask them questions and get them talking to you. So if you turn to the gold page and start with the gold page, you can ask the child, what does gold remind you of? And what are some answers do you think a child would say? Yes.
Money.
Money, yeah. I get that one a lot. What else do you think a child might say? What does gold remind you of? Yes. Jewelry. Yes, that's right. My uncle's gold tooth, maybe. So you can ask them for some examples of what gold reminds them of. Then you're going to tell them, well, gold reminds me of the gold street in heaven. Okay, so you see how you're kind of making a little bridge from your introduction to talking about the gospel. So gold reminds me of the golden street in heaven. Do you know who lives in heaven? And so hopefully, you know, they'll have heard at least that God lives in heaven and say God or maybe Jesus. Or you can tell them if they say no, then you can say, well, God lives in heaven. So you're going to talk to them about heaven and how God lives there. And there's a street of gold in heaven and how it's a wonderful, wonderful place. Then you're going to tell them three things about God. Okay, three things about God. And these are very important things for a child's understanding of the gospel. The first thing is that God loves you. And that's another blank in your book. God loves you. You've got to emphasize you, okay? As an adult or an older person talking to a child, and this is kind of interesting, and this goes along with the way children think. If I was to stand up in front of some children and all the wording that I used was, God loves us, do you know what a child automatically assumes when I keep saying, God loves us? He made us. He loves us so much. What do you think a child assumes when you keep using the word us instead of you? Yes. Okay, yeah. A child thinks when you say us that you're talking about people in your age group. Okay? So when you keep saying God loves us, a child thinks us, we, as adults. God loves adults. So you've got to say, God loves you. And look at those children in the eye. Some kids, especially kids that I've worked with here in Columbia, they might never have heard anyone look at them and say, I love you. They might never have heard that before. I've worked with some kids. There was once a little boy that I was working with, and he came up to me later one day, and he said, will you be my mom? And I just looked at him, and I said, well, why? Why are you asking that? And he said, because my mom doesn't love me, but I know that you do. And so these kids, they need to know that God loves them, and it's so important for you to use the word you, because it makes it personal, okay? So you want to make sure that the child knows that God loves you, and then one of the most important things about every page of the Wordless book is we want it to be based on a verse from the Bible, okay? Everything needs to be based on the Bible. This is important because if the child goes home and says, Mom, Dad, God loves me, if that parent looks at them and says, how do you know? You don't want that child to say, because Miss Erin told me so. Because that parent could say, well, Miss Erin is a liar. You know, everything has to be based on God's word, because that's what the child can trust, because God's word is true. So everything that we teach, we want to point back to Scripture. So every page of the Wordless book, that's why when you're teaching the gospel to a child, you have to have your Bible, because you want to show, this isn't Miss Erin saying that God loves me. This is God telling me that He loves me. So there's a verse for every page of the Wordless book, and this verse for the gold page is John 3:16a. Okay, so that's the next blank. Make sure you put an A there, and I'll tell you why. What does John 3:16a say? Yeah, Kevin. Uh-huh. Yeah. What's the first part of it say? For? Mm-hmm. And then what's the next two words? That's right. For God so loved the world. And then you're going to stop there. Okay? Why do you think we stop there? Why don't we read the whole verse? Why do you think it's... Yeah, let's get you... It does. Very good. It gives away the rest of the story, okay? Because the rest of that verse is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the whole wordless book right there. So you are just focusing on the first part of that verse because you want that child to know, for God so loved the world, do you live in the world? Yes. Yes, we do. Well, this verse is saying God loves you, okay? So you just want to use the first part of that verse and point them to God loves you. The next thing that you're going to point out to that child is that God is the creator. He is the creator. And you can give, you can have the child give you three examples. This is another way to get some interaction from the child. Three examples, three things that God made. You know, what are some things a child might say? If you say, what did God make? What are some examples a child might give you? Can you think of some things? Yes. Trees, yeah, trees. What's another example a child might give you? Yes, animals, specifically their pets. My dog, Sandy, you know. There's a lot of examples that a child will probably give you. What you're going to tell them is, God is the creator. He made everything because you want to explain the word creator, okay? So you want to explain it as he made heaven, he made earth, he made everything on the earth, he made you. So again, you want to make it personal. Say, God loves you because he made you, okay? It's important for the child to know that God is the creator because kids are not taught that. They're not taught that God is the creator. So we want to make sure that they know that the Bible says God made the world. He made you. The third thing that you're going to teach children is that God is holy. So that's the next blank. God is holy. You want to explain what holy means because a child, if you say God is holy, do you know what they think of? Holes. They think of Swiss cheese. They think of SpongeBob. They think of holes. So you want to make sure that the child knows holy doesn't mean God's got a bunch of holes in him, like Swiss cheese. God is perfect. Holy means perfect. So that's an example of what you would want to teach a child, childrenese, okay? That's a word that you want to explain. So those are the things that you're going to cover in the gold page, when you're teaching the gold page to a child, that heaven has a street of gold, that God loves you. You're going to read, open up your Bible and read to them John 3:16a, for God so loved the world, you live in the world. You're going to teach them that God is the creator, he made everything, get them to give you some examples of things that God made, and that God is holy, he is perfect, he's never done anything wrong. Then, what we want to do is we want to have a link statement, okay? Because you don't want to transition from the gold page to the next page like this. You wouldn't say something like, God is holy. He is perfect. He's never done anything wrong. Sin is anything you think, say, or do that makes God unhappy. What you want to do, listen to how much better this sounds. God is holy. He is perfect. He has never done anything wrong. And you know, there's one thing that God says can never be in heaven, and that is sin. And sin is anything you think, say, or do that makes God unhappy. Do you hear how much more smooth it is? So you want a link statement. And in your notes, you see that there is a link statement. Okay? So can we read that together? There is one thing that can never be in heaven. That is sin. Okay? So that is a natural way to go from the gold page to the dark page. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put it all together and demonstrate, and I'm going to, you know, just pretend that you all are one child, and I'm going to show you kind of how you would say this to a child, and then we'll give you some time to practice with one another, okay? All right, So, first thing, you all are going to be transformed into children for the next few moments. Good children, right? Okay, all right. Have you ever seen a book like this before? What's different about this book than any other book you've ever seen? Can someone tell me what's different about this book? There's no words. There's no words or no pictures, but it still tells a wonderful story. Would you like to hear it? Okay, great. Well, I'm going to start with this really pretty page right here. This is the gold page. Now, who can tell me what's something that is gold? What does gold remind you of? Can someone tell me what gold reminds you of? Treasures. Yeah, treasures. What's something else that gold reminds you of? Okay? Yeah, gold reminds me of the gold street in heaven. And did you know that heaven, that's where God lives. God lives in heaven. And there are three things I want to tell you about God, okay? The first thing is that God loves you. He loves you so much. And this is the Bible. The Bible is God's true word. And you can trust everything that it says. And I'm going to read to you what God said in his word in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world." Now raise your hand if you're in the world. Yeah, we don't have any Martians in here, do we? That's right. You live in the world. This means God loves you. It says, "God so loved the world, God loves you." And God loves you because he made you. He is the creator. Who can tell me something that God made? Can you name something else that God made on the earth? Think about some things that are outside. What are some things? Yeah, flowers, that's right. What's something else that God made? Can you think of something? Yes, your dog, that's right. God made the trees. He made everything, and he especially made you. He made you, and he made me. God is the creator. And another thing about God is that he is holy. Now, that doesn't mean that God's got a bunch of holes in him like Swiss cheese. It means that God is perfect. He has never done anything wrong. And you know, there's one thing that the Bible says that can never be in heaven, and that is sin. Okay? So that would be how you would present the introduction and the gold page to a child. Yes. Yeah, that's a great question to ask because the Bible does tell us that there's a gold street in heaven, so you can point them to that. The other thing to know is whenever a child asks a question like that, you don't want to spend too much time away from the gospel. Because the other thing that kids will try to do is they'll test you, okay? And sometimes they'll ask questions, and they are curious. Children are very curious. And so we want to answer them as best as possible by saying, well, the Bible says that there's a golden street in heaven. We don't know why, but God put it there. And we know that heaven's a beautiful place, and that's just part of making heaven a beautiful place. But you want to always keep the child's focus back on the gospel, okay? So don't spend too much time answering their questions because you want to keep them focused on what you have to say with the gospel presentation. So that's a great question because children will try to be a little bit distracting and try to see if they can pull you off course. So you want to always keep the focus back on the gospel, okay? So what I would like for you to do is to, I'm going to give you a few minutes to practice with one another, and you're going to practice the introduction and the gold page, and one person is going to be the teacher, and the other person is going to be the child, a good child, remember, a good child, and then after you present it, then switch and have the other person be the child and the other person be the teacher so that everyone kind of has a chance to present, okay? So, and anytime you have a question, if you need me to come and answer a question, then just hold up your hand and I'll come over. But go ahead and turn to the person next to you or get together with your partner, and I'll give you a few minutes to practice, and then we'll come back together, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to bring everyone back together, and we'll have definitely another chance to practice the next page after the next section. So if you didn't quite finish, then the next time after we practice the next book, then you can kind of leave, pick up where you just left if you weren't able to get through it. But we're going to get ready to take a break, but before we take the break, real briefly, I wanted to go over another thing that's in your folder, which it's this. If you want to just pull this out and look at this with me, these are called the Wordless Bookmarks, and the reason why these are in your folder is so you can take them home and just cut them out, and then you can put them in your Bible the way that I have them, and remember how I said every page of the Wordless book has a verse from Scripture? So each of these bookmarks go where that verse goes. So I have each of the bookmarks in the place in my Bible where the verse is that I'm going to read. Because when you're talking to a child, you always want to have your Bible marked and prepared. Because every time you lose eye contact with a child, then their attention is elsewhere. Okay? So you don't want to be, when you're looking up, say, John 3:16, you don't want to have your head down in your Bible, flipping through all your pages trying to find it. You want to make sure that it's marked with your bookmarks. The other thing about these bookmarks is if, as you look at it, especially the gold one, you'll see the points that we went over are all on the bookmark. So you can have the bookmark when you are sitting there talking to the child. If your Bible is open to that verse, then you're sitting there and you've got these points so that you can glance down at them. You don't want to read it because, again, eye contact is so important when you're talking to the child. So that's why it's important to practice and to know the information very well so you can maintain eye contact. But all the points for each page are on the bookmark, so you can kind of glance down, look at it, make sure you get the points in, and then you can just have your Bible marked, okay? So this is just a good resource and just a reminder that you always are prepared. When you're about to share the gospel with the child, you want to have those verses, you want to have your points. Sometimes you can put post-it notes in your Bible, too, if you need to write down a few things. And I also have colored tabs. You can see they're a little bit worn, but not only do I have the bookmarks, but I also have the tabs on the verses as well, okay? So you just want to make sure you're prepared because the less time you spend flipping through your Bible, the more time you can spend talking to the child, okay? And then the other thing, hopefully you noticed while speaking out loud, practicing out loud, you noticed that that's necessary before you talk to a child. It's always, always important to practice out loud, either with somebody or just standing by yourself in your room or in your living room, talking out loud before you talk to the child. Because it takes a little while, as you probably saw practicing just now, it takes a little bit to try to find the right words to say. So you want to make sure that you practice everything out loud, so that then when you're talking to a child, you're confident in what you're going to say, okay? We spend less time after you've practiced, and when you know exactly what you're going to say, you waste less time than if you don't know what you're going to say, and then sometimes you might say things that you have to explain more. It's just always better to be prepared. So that's why it's important to practice out loud and then to have your Bible marked, okay? So I think we're going to take a break. I guess if you all want to go and get some refreshment, stand up and stretch and just kind of, get a little bit awake for the next couple of sessions. So, yeah, we'll take a break.